each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. He's Derek Airey, and I am Lisa Nichols, here with you every Wednesday night, 7 to 9. As always, we want you to be a part of the show. The way that you do that, you give us a call at 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. And seemingly every week, I get it right, and you still get it wrong, Derek. One of these weeks.
This is the thing. I have been giving out that phone number on the air for almost 10 years now.
All right. I've been giving it out for almost 4 years now.
Has it been that long?
Yeah.
Has it? Because you started in late 2012, didn't you?
Early.
Why are you still here?
I don't know.
Well, Brian Joyce was gone in like 2 years.
Yeah.
You're four. You know,
yeah. I got rid of I'm almost. If you play that Pokemon song one more time,
I got rid
the
of
news,
Shay faster than I get rid of you.
I know. You love me, though.
I do love you, but I want you to go.
All right. So, of course, it's time for Did You Hear? The part of the show where Derek and I quiz each other by using one word, two words. Apparently, Derek uses numbers now, so you can use a number. Because, yeah.
When did I? Yeah.
Oh, I have one today. Don't you worry.
48%? Yeah. Probably not.
Yeah. I'm going to start. Olympic Village.
Are we talking about the Australians or are we talking about the general conditions of
Let's
the Olympic Village?
Talk about the general conditions.
The Olympic Village was deemed uninhabitable.
Yes.
By international observers.
How many days are we down to?
It's about a week to go.
Yep.
The Australians also refused to move in to the Olympic Village, citing a number of problems, including leaking ceilings and broken plumbing, to which the mayor of Rio suggested that he would do something to make them feel a little bit more at home. He said, and I quote, let's see, where is this? I almost feel like putting a kangaroo to jump up and down in front of their building.
And hope that it falls down. You know, Rio officials did come out yesterday and they admitted that in their rush to finish the housing, it required, I think it's about 18,000 staff and athletes will be staying at this. Electrical, basic plumbing, they kind of foregone.
Yeah.
So, oops.
Yeah.
And the best thing, too, they're also supposed to run tests to make sure that it works, and they forgot to do that as well. So now they have all these Olympians coming in and can't flush a toilet. Sorry.
Also,
but it's better than in Sochi, where many of the people were getting either locked in their room and having to kick their door down to exit the bathroom. So now you just go into the bathroom, but it doesn't disappear. So
also
you're lucky
today,
the doors work.
Or today or yesterday, some international health officials advised people swimming in Guanabara Bay, as we like to call it, Poo Bay, to keep their mouths closed while they're in the water. Someone said. One person said it is the equivalent of swimming in a sewer. Some reporter mentioned that you have to.
I disturbing my mom. That's so.
Some reporter mentioned that you have to dodge feces while you're swimming all over there. By the way,
no, folks, those are not buoys. Those are large human feces.
By the way, that's not just the athletes. That's everyone staying in the ritzy hotels. If you're on Poo Bay, it's called Poo Bay for a reason. There's poo in it. Okay, let's stick with this theme. NBC. Let's see if you caught this one.
Well, it's obviously about the Olympics.
Yes. And I'll forgive you if you missed this one, but it was one that I had to call out.
Is this still about the opening ceremony?
Yes.
How it is going to be on a delay?
No.
No.
It is about the opening ceremony, however.
Hmm.
So I'll give you half credit for that.
What are they doing now to ruin our viewing pleasure?
NBC has petitioned the Rio Olympic Committee to change the order in which the athletes will walk in.
Mm-hmm. They're basically producing their own show.
The order is based on the names of countries in the national language of the country where the Olympics takes place. In the case of Brazil, that's Portuguese. Mm-hmm. So
not Spanish kids. Portuguese.
Etats Unidas comes in very early in the broadcast. NBC is worried that Americans will tune out. So they've asked the Rio Olympic Committee to use the English names of the teams, so the United States comes in at the end.
How convenient.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You're showing it on a delay. Just edit the damn thing.
This is the same thing, though, that we talked about when
just edit
it was
the damn
cloudy
thing
for the 4th of July. So PBS had showed the previous year's broadcast and how, you know, that is so wrong for viewers that are watching it live. It's the same thing when NBC came out last week and said, we're going to put it on a delay because we're going to add, what was it?
Context.
Context.
Americans need context. We're too dumb to understand a bunch of people walking into an arena.
So we don't
get it.
Context.
We don't get what the people dancing is all about.
So now this is hilarious. They're coming out and trying to skew it and produce it a little bit more to meet the needs of what they want as a production studio.
They may have cut back on the delay, by the way, because they originally said it was going to start at 8 o'clock. Now the broadcast is starting at 7:30. So maybe we're going to get a half an hour of context, and then we're going to go to the opening ceremony. Okay. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be a hot mess. I know I'm tuning in.
Mm-hmm. All right. Flour.
Flour.
As in cooking flour, not growing flowers.
I would imagine more of it has been recalled because it is contaminated with E. coli.
That is correct.
Which brand is it this week?
That is Gold Medal.
Gold Medal, yeah.
So the Kansas City, Missouri plant is still producing. It produces 45 million pounds. They're still going. And all of it, most of it has been recalled. 21 out of 50 states, somebody has been infected with E. coli. We're talking about one of the victims has developed some sort of type of kidney failure. It's known as hemolytic uremic syndrome. Fatal. So somebody could die over this. They're saying, you know, if you're making cookies, do not eat the raw dough. You could get E. coli.
Can we get the E. coli out of the flour, please? This is not a problem that we had in previous generations in the United States of America. To all you millennials out there, this is not normal. This is not the way it's supposed to be. This is what you get when you have massive consolidation in our food production.
Mm-hmm.
When you have three or four places that make all the food, suddenly you don't have any flour anymore because some E. coli got in a machine.
How many people?
Yeah.
It hurts.
You are much, much better off with a distributed local food network.
Their press release was so interesting because they kept reiterating, don't eat the raw flour, don't eat the raw flour. And I'm just picturing somebody. Nobody's eating raw flour. And if you are eating raw flour, you probably have something very wrong with you. But please mention to consumers where raw flour could be. I think I saw one press release that talked about the raw cookie dough. There's other ways that you could be eating raw flour, whether it be in a sauce that isn't completely cooked down at a low temperature, because E. coli, from what we understand for the most part, does burn off at a certain temperature. At a low temperature, if you're making, say, like a roux, it does not. So,
you know where they don't have a problem with this?
Stay away from it.
Down south, where they deep fry everything.
Everything.
Deep fry everything. Deep fry.
They egg wash it.
Yep.
Flour, dip it.
Deep frying, proven to kill E. coli, deep fry everything, and you're going to be good.
Healthy as a horse.
You'll get through this. John Hinckley.
John Hinckley is going to be released from prison for the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan.
He's been
deemed sane.
Yeah, one of the doctors said that his mental illness has cleared up. 61-year-old Hinckley.
He's going to be going to live with his 90-year-old mother on the conditions that he does attend weekly therapy sessions.
Yes, he has to attend his therapy sessions. He is not allowed to have weapons of any kind. He is allowed to drive, but there are restrictions on where he can go. Hinckley has been getting weekend leave for more than a decade now. And, you know, hey, if the guy's healthy, fine, good.
Because he was put in for, or he wasn't charged because of mental insanity.
In the Summer of Blood, I am not worried about John Hinckley. John Hinckley is the least of my concerns in the middle of the Summer of Blood.
Take it. All right. Carson Beach.
Carson Beach was the site of the death of, what's his first name? It is the usual suspects, Kaiser
Willis.
Kaiser Willis, a 7-year-old boy who wandered away from a Boston community center and drowned yesterday. This story is just plain tragic.
That's all it is, completely. If anybody knows the area around South Boston and you're following the waterway down, it goes into M Street and L Street Beach and then Carson Beach, right in the center before you go into, as if you were heading to Castle Island, there is a community center. There is a gym in there. During the summer, because I run that route all the time, there are many kids. They're in bright color T-shirts. For the most part, they're all in single file lines. What happened here, we don't know. There are lifeguards that are stationed on the beach. Again, not to put anything away from lifeguards. I was one for a long time. Maybe not, and it is very, very difficult, especially at beaches. One probably wasn't paying attention. He was found in the water. There was a land air search for him. It's so incredibly sad. The head administrator of this program where... In the summer, it runs Monday through Friday. I believe it's like 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. He didn't return at 3 p.m. So, of course, my biggest question is, why did nobody up until 3 p.m. notice that he was gone?
Well, he apparently walked out the door of the community center and said he was going to the beach. And at that point, I'm wondering, why is a 7-year-old allowed to do that? You know?
No, but also a bigger question is, are we in a situation where there are too many children to how many either camp counselors or advisors there are? Because if we look in the school system, whether it be in pre-K, kindergarten, you cannot leave as a teacher without another teacher because there can only be, whether it's designated 13 to 15 kids. I've seen this. I've seen one person with maybe 25, which is still far, far too many, the 13 to 15. Two kids to me, overwhelming.
No, I mean, even when I was in school, it was like one chaperone for every 10 kids.
And I know more about this, seeing it and seeing the chaos that's going on during it. We're talking about the beach. It's hot. They're running around. Of course, they want to get to the water.
Yeah.
It is difficult for one camp counselor to control that.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate that a innocent 7-year-old lost his life. A family is now devastated over what happened.
This is a tragic, tragic, tragic story. I don't think anybody was negligent here. I don't think anybody was acting irresponsibly here. I think the kid slipped away. From what I've been able to gather in the reporting about this, the kid loved to swim, and he loved being in the water.
Oh, yeah. He was described by the mother as a daredevil and hard to handle.
Yeah. So I have a feeling that the kid was like, it's a hot day, I'm going to go swim, and went off swimming somewhere, probably got stuck in some undertow or who knows what, and got carried out. It is a tragic, tragic case, and it's sad. You got to look at the protocols in this situation. The only question that I have in this is, who was supposed to be watching the kid? You know, how do you get from inside the building to the water? Is that something that the kids are allowed to do? And if it is, who is paying attention to that? Because what should happen is the kid checks out of the building, and the kid checks in at the beach, and then you got somebody at the beach watching him. So that way you know where everybody is at all times. But really, my heart breaks. I am sure there were a lot of tears over at the community center, because those are generally... those are mostly volunteers that take those, you know, that oversee that summer camp. My heart breaks for everybody involved in this. It's just a tragic, tragic accident. All right. French priest.
This is... there were so many stories. A French priest died. It was the two people he was stabbed. Or no, his throat was slit. Was this the one in Japan? Oh, no, in Germany. Oh. I know his throat was slit by two men. Am I crossing stories?
Nope, you got the right story, but you're only at half a point right now because I need more details on this.
There was literally in the past 3 days how many people were killed.
It was yesterday. This is part of the Summer of Blood. This is another of our Summer of Blood stories. A French priest was murdered during morning mass in Normandy by two ISIS fans who forced another hostage to film the incident. So these guys burst into a church, a Catholic church, in the middle of morning mass, take everybody hostage.
Which has prompted now, France is releasing all known terrorists' pictures, names.
Slit the priest's throat, have somebody else film it, and then get themselves shot to death by police, which is the only happy part of this story, is that the ISIS fanboys were killed by police. The appalling part of this story is that one of the two people involved had already been arrested on terrorism charges by the French government and was under house arrest. One of the conditions of his house arrest, because France, is that he could leave the house between 8:30 and 12:30 every day. Guess why they attack morning mass?
Derek, nobody murders in the morning.
It's all justice system.
It's insane.
This is where political correctness goes completely out of control. And that's exactly what this is. That is, you know, hey, it's not the Muslims. Hey, it's not... it's not people who believe in Allah. Hey, we got to be fair to everybody. So we're going to put the guy under house arrest and let him walk around for 4 hours every day. Because you know what? The terrorists aren't going to take advantage of that to go kill somebody.
Mm-mm. They only do that at night. Crazy.
Until the governments accept that war has been declared, even the Pope.
Which they won't. The Pope came out and said, this is war.
It has nothing
to do with religion. It's war.
And said it's war. Pope Francis, who I generally agree with.
It's not war.
Until these governments realize that this is war.
We need to live in wartime conditions.
That this is total war. That we need to treat this like a war. This is going to keep happening. Mm-hmm. And the Summer of Blood is going to roll on. I am sick of talking about it. I'm sick of these little ISIS fanboys running around with their trucks, running people down, stabbing people, trying to set off bombs. Can we start treating this seriously already?
I like that new terminology. ISIS fanboys.
By the way, the Democrats aren't even talking about ISIS.
Nope.
We're day three of the clown show.
Yeah, if you were wondering why you're not hearing anything about global terrorism, that's because they're not. Non-existent right now.
Day three of the clown show, and the ISIS mentions have been few and far between.
All right, you like the number game. Let's go with 1.6
million. 1.6
million.
1.6 million. God, I have no idea.
On Tuesday, a new study said that as many as 1.6 million women in Latin America could be infected with Zika virus while pregnant. So this is some of the highest numbers we've been seeing. Oof. We've been talking about South America so much in the Brazil area, but now we're moving into Latin America. It is also confirmed today for non-travel cases in Florida now. Last week it was one. We are up to four.
That'll be 1.8 million by the end of the Olympics, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's my prediction.
Interesting. CDC is now asking all doctors in the United States, if they have a patient that is pregnant or trying to get pregnant, if they have been traveling, if they have Zika or testing for it.
Yep. So the Florida outbreak has gone from one to four. We'll keep an eye on that for you. Blood donation.
We are now considering, or the government, Washington, is considering to allow gay men to be able to donate blood again.
Yes, and?
And? That was a story.
Well, yes, but...
That was the biggest part of the story.
Well, no, they've...
The fact that they haven't been able to?
They've overturned... The ban was overturned a while ago. There's a whole other dimension to this story.
Don't even say quarter. That's a half.
I'll give you like a quarter. No, it's like a quarter because the ban ended in December. And what they're doing now is they're saying that when the ban was overturned...
But not everybody was using it. Not every agency was using it.
When the ban was overturned, they put a rule in place that said you cannot donate blood for a year if you've had sex with a man.
Yes.
They now are opening the door to getting rid of that blanket rule and replacing it with case-by-case investigations, basically asking people questions.
So you're like, just getting into the specifics.
Are you? But the specifics are the story.
Mm-hmm.
That's the story here. Now, I will tell you, because I know this, gay men lie all the time when they donate blood.
Absolutely.
Because there's a couple questions that they ask you. Number one, are you a gay man? No. All right, you can donate blood. If you say yes, have you had sex with anybody in the last year? No. Okay, you can donate blood. That's what existed prior to the ban being overturned.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea, I get the public safety concern about this, but we can test blood to see if there's HIV in it. And it is probably better for us to be testing blood to see if there's HIV than to simply say to millions of Americans, sorry, you can't donate. That would
it's
be
a very
the,
simple test.
That'd be the fair and sensible way of doing things. And the FDA.
No, it's crazy that that ban was even in place, you know, before December.
It's a holdover from the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the 1980s, before we had a reliable.
No, when AIDS and HIV were rampant.
Before we had a reliable test for HIV, there were a lot of people donating. One of the things that was happening in the 1980s was you could sell blood. California and some other states, you can go and sell a pint of blood a day. And a lot of people who were intravenous drug users were doing that.
Yeah,
so blood full of AIDS was getting all over the place.
Yeah, but you have a questionnaire that's saying, okay, are you gay? No. Or if you say, yeah, straight people have AIDS.
Yeah.
So yes, as what you're proposing, testing for AIDS across the board would make sense to me.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah. This
would completely eliminate the discrimination against having gay men from donating.
This is a throwback.
Simple.
This is a throwback to the days.
What year are we? 2016?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, all of this is only 30 years old. This is a throwback to the days when we didn't have testing and people thought AIDS was a gay disease.
Only? It's only 30 years old?
That's
almost 40 years.
That's the head of a pin on the timeline of history. It's the head of a pin.
Yeah, but if we're talking about gay rights in just the past few years, that should have been much more quicker to be changed and overturned.
But like I say, there's been a workaround for it for a long time.
Of course.
Gay men lie either about being gay or about the last time they had sex, and they donate blood all the time. And the last time I checked, we did not have a massive problem with HIV-infected blood floating around the country. So let's save gay men the hassle of having to lie about it and just test the blood and get on with it. Simple.
All right, one last one for you. Paintings.
Paintings. I know that the art market is collapsing. The recent art auctions are not doing well.
It's a huge story today.
Paintings. Today?
Mm-hmm.
Paintings. Somebody well known?
The paintings are very well known.
Paintings are very well known. So, art auction?
Nope.
Paintings donated?
What if I said stolen paintings?
Oh, I'd have no idea.
The Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum paintings that were stolen in 1980, which is still to this day one of the biggest known mysteries. There is a former Boston mobster. So he used to be known as Bobby Luisi, and he served 15 years in prison for cocaine trafficking. He went into the witness protection. He's now living as Alonzo Esposito as a pastor in Tennessee.
Well, there goes your witness protection.
Yep. He came out, told authorities that he knows they are buried below a house in Florida.
Really?
Apparently, Robert Grente was one of his associates, told him that he had them hidden down there because he wanted to sell them. This is back in the early 90s. Never gave him the exact location. So we could maybe find out where they
Why am I not surprised that it's Florida? It's always Florida.
Crazy. And it's crazy that this guy came out and revealed his, I don't know, maybe because he's pastor, he found God, he's okay with himself. Former Boston mobster revealing the location. Well, area.
Everybody got state. A story. Everybody got a story about where those things are. When they find them, I'll take one of those stories seriously. All right, one more for you. Miss Cleo.
Miss Cleo died. I believe she was 58, which is crazy because I thought she was 80. She died of, I believe it was colon cancer that spread to her upwards. It was either... Yeah. It
spread up into her lungs and got all over the place. She not even Jamaican, man. Miss Cleo, because if you grew up in the 90s, Miss Cleo, call me now. You know, Miss Cleo is the friendly Jamaican psychic lady who would solve all of your problems. She was on TV all the time. Everybody loved Miss Cleo. Miss Cleo was born and raised in Los Angeles. Her actual name was Uri Harris. Mm-hmm. And after the psychic thing started to peter out, she did some voice acting work. But Miss Cleo is no longer with us. She gone. She dead already, man.
That's a bad joke.
Miss Cleo. Miss Cleo, she gone.
Not bad this week.
Not bad at all.
A little bit better.
When we come back, we're going to tell you a bit about how the sausage is made, thanks to some emails, courtesy of WikiLeaks and the Russian government, we believe, right here on WMFO Medford. A little seasonal music for you, if I ever turn it up.
Shake your pants, take a chance. Come on and dance. Guys, grab a girl, don't wait, make a twirl. It's your world and I'm just a squirrel. Trying to get a nut to move your butt to the dance floor. So yo, what's up? Hands in the air. Come on, say yeah. Everybody over here, everybody over there. The crowd is live and I will do this too. Party people in the house, move.
Come on. I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
Ranger Station.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting in the forest.
Uh-huh.
1 second I'm having a smoke. Next thing I know, I'm face-to-face with Smokey Bear.
Wow.
And he told me it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
Did you know 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans?
I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous and you're not. Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
WFO Medford. I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary, and this is The Big Picture. Every Wednesday night, 7 to 9. And you can call us at 855-915-9636. So the beginning of this week started the DNC. Last week we had the Republican National Convention.
Clown show.
But yeah, we're on clown show number two.
Clown show two. Electric also, Schultz.
We also said goodbye to DNC head Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who I am not sad to see leave. She was under fire for most of the presidential primary process. On the eve of the DNC, she did announce that she would not be going to her own convention. And
oh, no. She was still going to gavel it in and gavel it out.
Yeah.
And then
And then backed out of that.
I think someone finally talked her out of it. Donna Brazile is now the acting chair of the Democratic National Committee for the duration of the convention.
Yeah, well, it could be because WikiLeaks, yes, they're back, released nearly 20,000 DNC emails that many say bolster Sanders supporters' claims that the party may or may not have favored Clinton.
Oh, yes, just a bit.
And if you read into any of these emails, I think it will become pretty clear. If you would like me to go through some of those emails, how about one featuring DNC staffers appearing to ponder ways to undercut Sanders, who at the time we knew was surging. On May 5th, DNC employee asked colleagues, quote, get someone to ask about his beliefs in God, basically suggesting that talking about whether he was atheist or Jewish wouldn't do well in West Virginia and Kentucky. The person in the email said,
This is Brad Marshall, I believe, said this. Marshall@dnc.org, if you want to send him a note. I think I read he is an atheist. This could make several points difference with my peeps.
Yeah, my peeps.
Because they're so
and
hip.
And he uses peeps
in
multiple times.
In the DNC. My Southern Baptist peeps would draw a big difference between a Jew and an atheist. Oh, that's good. Here's your party of diversity and inclusion.
Right.
Let's go.
We don't know the difference between an atheist and a Jew.
Yeah. So, no. They know the difference. They're trying to figure out, like, you know what? The Southern Baptist might be okay with a Jew, but if we can prove he's an atheist, oh boy, they're not going to vote for Bernie. Mm-hmm. So there's somebody. This is a DNC staffer in the bag.
So the DNC got hacked a few weeks back. We knew this. This was in the news. So far, what we understand, two independent cybersecurity teams have looked at it. It's clear it's coming from Russian intelligence.
Well, they think it's coming from Russia.
Come on.
We know it's coming from Russia, and they think it's these two organizations known as Cozy Bear and Fancy Bear.
Yes, these are the names. They like using the bear amongst the obvious, you know, AB2829
right,
that we see from Russian hackers. These are the same people, though, that do the White House, Joint Chiefs, State Department. Same exact thing going on here.
Cozy Bear is believed to be a division of the Russian military, and Fancy Bear is believed to be remnants of the KGB.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two organizations.
Now, I wish I could say that they were careful. They were not. They left their signatures all over the place. But Russia goes to WikiLeaks, who I believe, is just a Russian front. I've always believed that. I believe once... You don't think WikiLeaks?
No.
Are you kidding?
No.
If this doesn't prove that WikiLeaks is working with Russia, I don't know what it is.
No.
And the only reason why I say that was because when Snowden went to Russia and you had Julian Assange saying, yeah, just go over to Russia, you'll be fine there.
Yeah, but Julian Assange was held up in the, which embassy is he in over there? Is that the Ecuadorian embassy, I believe? Yeah, so he was holed up in the Ecuadorian embassy. And that was...
Of course, WikiLeaks is completely working with Russia.
No, they're not, because that followed the disclosure. Snowden followed the disclosure of the spying programs in the United States and Europe. Most of what WikiLeaks has published has been very progressive-leaning. Mm-hmm. This is a very surprising...
Assange has always stood on the platform of free speech, government corruption, and this is what he's showing. Now the world has seen it. It's embarrassing, and it puts the DNC in a negative light. You know, if I said intelligence agencies went in on the RNC emails, would we find similar things? Probably.
Absolutely.
This is Political America 2016.
And let's not, you know, this is
not... And I wish I could say it was different. It's politics as usual.
This is not a partisan witch hunt on the part of this show. I want to be very clear about that. If these were Republican emails, we'd be all over them just as much. This is a rare opportunity to see how the sausage gets made. And the sausage is made the same way by both parties. Okay? It's like if you're getting a Fenway Frank, or you're getting a Yankee Dog, whatever the Jeter down the trousers special, whatever they call the Yankee Dog, they make the sausage the same way.
Okay,
Republicans, Democrats, all engage in this kind of behavior, and here's some examples of what they do. We have an email about a potential donor who wants to host a party for Hillary Clinton by the name of George Lindemann. And they mentioned that he had been convicted of 3 counts of wire fraud in 1995 and received a 33-month term in federal prison. Investigation stemmed from a federal investigation where over 50 horses were killed in a 20-year period in acts of insurance fraud. Michael Vick didn't kill that many dogs.
Nope.
50 horses killed for insurance fraud. This guy wants to host the First Lady for a big party. Or Hillary Clinton for a big party. The Democrats did say no.
How about this one? In another email, attorney for Clinton campaign appears to advise the DNC on how to respond to a dispute between the two campaigns over how much money Clinton's operation has raised. Money was playing, that was a big, big thing in a lot of the debates that we were hearing about and the conversations. You now have a Clinton attorney advising the DNC on how to respond to that.
Yep.
So when you were seeing Wasserman Schultz talk every Sunday morning, talk on the late night shows, and she was saying how she didn't favor Clinton at all, little suspicious, no?
Here's one from Jeremy Brinster, I believe, sent this one. And this is talking about answering a bunch of various questions. And one of his answers is, and he's another DNC staffer, yes, Super PAC paying young voters to push back online on Sanders supporters. So this is a Super PAC is paying people to go online and say bad things about Bernie Sanders and bad things about Bernie Sanders supporters. This is probably where the whole Bernie Bros thing came from. I have been suggesting for well over a year now that there are paid operatives from both parties publishing crap in comments sections, pushing out these memes. Here's your proof. Super PAC paying young voters.
You have his name and you have his email
address. To push back on Sanders supporters.
Mm-hmm.
What else have we got here? This is a fun one because remember, this is the party of diversity and inclusion. If a Republican wrote this email, we wouldn't even talk about it because we'd just be like, yeah, it's Republican.
It's normal.
That's who they are. And this is Rob Smith is sending an email to someone else. And he says, I'm going to have Laquenia send out some options for next week. Hopefully we can all get on the phone and re-energize this event. To which somebody responds, Laquenia is a name, all caps, exclamation point. I'm sorry, Boo. I hope you got a raise with this title. Laquenia is a name.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's the name of somebody working for the DNC. And apparently you can't control your racism long enough to stop making fun of that. Yeah. But this is the big party of inclusion. Mm-hmm. This is our friends. Here's another great one. This is Jordan Kaplan writing to, let's see, do we have that in here? Zach Allen. Apparently they'd had a disagreement or something like that. Zach says to Jordan, quote, are we back to the point I can say I love you because I'd like to? To which Jordan Kaplan replies, I love you too, no homo. I love you too, no homo. This is the party of diversity and inclusion, folks. Mm-hmm. If a Republican said it, oh, it'd be national headlines. Kidding? Look, the Republicans are bashing the gays. Look, the Republicans are making fun of the blacks.
Look at everybody that's working underneath him. Mm-hmm.
But here's the Democrats, and they're getting away with it.
So it's fine.
Yeah, it's okay. If you're liberal, you can say those things. Mm-hmm. That's all right.
Because you don't mean it.
We're not the party of hate. They put up a fake Donald Trump ad on Craigslist as a way of driving people over to one of their websites. Let me give you some of the sterling comedy that they have in this title, Honey Bunch. That's what the boss will call you. The boss in this case is Donald Trump. Job requirements. No gaining weight on the job. We'll take some before pictures when you start to use later as evidence. Must be open to public humiliation and open press workouts if you gain weight on the job. A willingness to evaluate other women's hotness for the boss's satisfaction is a plus. Should be proficient in lying about age if the boss thinks you're too old. Working mothers not preferred. The boss finds pumping breast milk disgusting and worries they're too focused on their children. You're making fun of fat girls. You're making fun of older women. You're making fun of single mothers.
Inclusion. Crazy.
Yeah. This is the party of diversity and inclusion. Here's, let's see. We talked about the Bernie one.
But what these just show is this is a complete joke to these people. And it is all contrived, these messages that you are seeing.
Yeah.
Am I going to say it does not exist in the DNC, in the Republican Party? It does.
It absolutely does. They do the same thing.
What we are seeing here is these emails from the DNC. This is our proof that we have.
But again, if you had Republicans sitting there saying no homo to each other,
it would be a completely different conversation that we would be having. You would be seeing different messages all over the nightly news about, as I said, Donald Trump being a racist.
Right.
And being against the gays.
All of these liberal outlets, your Huffington Post.
LGBT would be losing their minds.
The Clinton News Network, make sure no one beats Clinton. They'd all be out there saying, proof the Republicans are homophobes.
And you know, Clinton would be on the biggest platform because they would have changed the entire lineup tonight at the DNC that would have rainbows flying everywhere and glitter pumping out and saying, how look at us, we are so much more included in this.
If the Laquenia email comes out, look on how racist all the Republicans are. That's what you're going to get out of this. That's what they do. But because it's the Democrats, Russians hacked the emails.
Mm-hmm. No, and nothing after this is going to happen. Nothing's going to change. It was funny today because you had Donald Trump come out and say, you know, Russia, I dare you, please try to find the emails that supposedly were lost or deleted from Hillary Clinton. It's the same thing. When is America going to wake up? What does she need to do to show that she's a flawed candidate?
But the stuff that is real,
like, it blows my mind.
There's a lot of stuff in here that's normal sausage making, okay?
No, of course. It's banter back and forth that some people have conversations with their friends.
Trying to influence the press, closed-door meetings with the press, feeding the press questions. You got the Politico's investigative reporter sent an entire article to them.
Of course.
Ahead of publication, when he should have just sent a couple of facts for clarification. Now, Politico's defended this, and everybody's defending the guy. Doesn't matter that it was a negative article. You gave him a heads up as to what was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a campaign spin doctor, that's a Christmas present. Okay?
It's wrapped up with a bow, yeah.
That's a really, really bad look for Ken Vogel, who probably ought to be taken off the beat until after the election is over. But then you get into the other stuff where you have people, and they're sending interns out to protest at the Republican National Convention because no one else showed up. There's a couple emails in here that talk about them sending interns out to protest at Republican events because no one else has shown up. So who are the protesters? The protesters are Democratic National Committee interns. Oh, they're unpaid. They don't even pay the interns.
Don't worry, Derek. They're getting credit for it.
The stuff in here that is damning is the stuff where you have Democratic National Committee members asking how they can defeat Bernie Sanders. That's the smoking gun in here.
Mm-hmm.
Because that proves what Bernie Sanders and a lot of the rest of us have been alleging
all along
for a year now.
Mm-hmm.
That the fix was in for Hillary Clinton, that Debbie Wasserman Schultz existed to get Hillary Clinton the nomination by any means necessary.
Whether that meant, you know, there was a lot of talk about why there were only four debates. I mean, look on the Republican side, there were, 12?
You mean the debates that they had on Saturday
nights? Saturday night. And for her, Schultz, to say, well, no, these are primetime hours. Everybody's going to be tuning in. That's crap.
Not on a Saturday night in the spring.
Nobody was going to be watching it because there was a huge surge going on with Sanders supporters.
Yeah.
You wanted anything that was going to put him in the spotlight and to make sure she wasn't going to say anything stupid where people were going to watch. No, you completely buried the entire campaign.
Yeah. In boxing, they frequently will hire somebody to come in and just get beaten up by someone that they want to promote. That's what Martin O'Malley was. Martin O'Malley had no chance whatsoever of ever getting the nomination. So they trot him out there so they can have some debates and make Hillary Clinton look good. Well, then Bernie Sanders shows up and actually starts threatening to win the race.
Mm-hmm.
So the DNC is going into overdrive to figure out, how do we get rid of this Sanders guy? That's not the way it works. That's not what the National Committee is there for. The National Committee does not exist to pick candidates. The people choose the nominee. That didn't happen this time.
But the message that you're getting from the National Committee is saying, well, we can't convince voters what they're choosing behind the box or in behind the curtain, what box they're choosing. Well, no, what you can do is you can send these messages out. You can put all your debates on Saturday to try to expose one candidate less and pump up another candidate. So essentially, you did choose them. You're not holding somebody's hand while they're marking a box on a ballot. No, you didn't do that. But you're putting all these messages in people's heads.
You can hide Hillary Clinton. You can hide the debates so that you keep voters uninformed, because a low-information voter is your friend, okay?
Because they think everybody's stupid.
You can deny the Sanders campaign access to voter lists, which they did. You can go on the national television programs, which Debbie Wasserman Schultz did every Sunday, and say, Hillary's doing fine. Hillary's doing great. Hillary's going to win. Hillary's going to win. Hillary's going to win. We're not concerned about Bernie. Hillary's going to win. You can make sure nobody beats Clinton. That's MSNBC and the Clinton News Network, CNN, to talk about, not about Bernie's victories, but about how Hillary is going to make a comeback, which was a story every time Bernie won a primary. Oh, no, Hillary's fine. Hillary's still got all these superdelegates. That's what we heard after every single Sanders victory.
And how many times on this show did we talk about how it was portrayed in the media, whether it would be in print or visual media, that Clinton was way more.
She's got the superdelegates. Bernie can't win.
Then
that was,
which was not. I mean, for somebody that like us that can actually analyze what was going on, it was easy for us to understand. But for the average person that is looking back at what's coming in from results from these elections, you would have thought, well, there's no way. Sanders is so far behind. He was right there with her, yeah, if not ahead, in most of these.
If you hadn't had the superdelegate nonsense, which, by the way, they moved to
which
get rid of.
Which is complete crap.
And which they should get rid of before the next election, Sanders would have stood a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's what the Democrats have done. For the sake of getting Hillary Clinton the nomination, the Democrats have mortgaged the future of their party for a candidate that no one is mm-hmm. enthusiastic about. Who they have lost are all of the young voters who, at a formative age, are trying to decide what their political ideology is, what they believe, which party they stand with, who were inspired by Bernie Sanders, who were on board with Bernie Sanders' message, and who were determined to get Bernie Sanders that nomination. Now they find out he never stood a chance, because the entire process was stacked against
right.
him. So this Democratic Party that's supposed to be open-minded mm-hmm. and progressive and fair and equal and inclusive and all the rest of this has proven itself not to be that. So what happens to all of these young voters now? Well, they're not going to go turn Republican, but a lot of them aren't going to get on the side of the Democrats again anytime soon. And I hope it was worth it.
So it's
I hope it was worth mortgaging your future, because you are not going to get some of those voters back.
But it's not only that, losing voters. Essentially, what happens with the NC, they want their candidate to win. And as we've talked about many times on this show, if you had a Bernie Sanders versus Donald Trump election, there's a very, very good chance you would have Bernie Sanders as your next president.
Absolutely.
As we stand right now, as this facade in what media wants to portray right now, and thinking that Hillary Clinton is so much further ahead than Donald Trump, which is not reality, because Donald Trump's numbers continually are going up, and I guarantee you that he more than likely will be the next president of the United States. As shocking and crazy as that may sound to some people, it is reality. The DNC not only lost people, but what they did do is they lost their chance to have a candidate win.
Here's the thing. This is another case of corruption involving Hillary Clinton. Ultimately, and they're going to try and make Debbie Wasserman Schultz fall on the sword, but everyone knows mm-hmm. this doesn't happen without Clinton's input.
Of course.
There are things.
Mastermind of all of this.
There are things that blow up in the media and that people look at and they say, I don't like that policy. I don't like that position. In the case of Donald Trump, maybe it's building the wall. In the case of Hillary Clinton, maybe you don't like that she's for LGBT rights. That's not going to sway you in the ballot box. What's going to sway you in the ballot box is your overall impression of a candidate. And another scandal involving Hillary Clinton sinks into the subconscious and makes her even less trustworthy than she was before. The Democrats have blown it at this point, and they're going to have to do a hell of a lot of work or hope for a really lucky break if they want to have the White House in November. 855-915-9636. It is the Big Picture. We're here until 9 o'clock when I believe On the Town Mikey D is going to be on, but I don't see any of them here yet. I don't know. Maybe we'll find them. When we come back, what's hot, our favorite things from the past week, and the strangest stories from the past week right here on WMFO Medford.
Okay, gang. So chances are there'll never be an emergency ever, ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So who's going to do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So, who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So, we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of
WMFO Medford. This is The Big Picture, and it's time for What's Hot, our favorite thing from this week's news. And I was actually just talking to Derek. There's a new competition going on right now with many local brewers in taking Charles River water and trying to make a beer with it. So some group came in from Europe, and we started a few years ago. Love That Dirty Water Harpoon. I actually tried it out. It was on their pilot. You could go to the brewery. So I believe Trillium, a lot of your local ones, Backlash, Night Shift, Harpoon, Sam, they're all going to be involved in it. So I'm sure if you go to any of their tap rooms, you're going to be able to try their beer. I don't know how the voting is going to go, if it's going to be by consumers of it or it's going to be by an independent panel. So definitely keep an eye out for that. So it's Brewing the Charles.
I think there's going to be an event.
Clean,
at
I
the,
guess.
At the end of this.
Apparently.
Yeah, this company that's come in specializes in desalinating water.
Yeah.
So they're going to purify. They pumped
stop
out.
Stop with the water.
5,000 gallons. I think it's cool, actually. I think it's
you
cool.
You hated when they did it last time with Harpoon.
Well, because I wouldn't drink that. But I still wouldn't drink that, but I can still think it's cool. Well, the weather is hot, obviously.
Yes.
But the only thing that's hotter than the weather right now is Pokemons. Yeah, everybody loves the Pokemon Go. And there is a website here in Boston that you really, really need to know about. It's called Gotta Catch 'Em All. And to find it, I'm going to send you over to PCWorld.com. Google Gotta Catch 'Em All and click on that PC World article. It will give you the link to this. I can't give out the link over the air because it's a Google map. But basically, this is exclusively for the Boston area. And it shows people are reporting where they have caught specific types of Pokemon. And I will tell you from experience, it works. So if you look at that map and you see some kind of rare Pokemon somewhere, it won't be there all the time, but they are there. And they do show up. And they've got a lot, not all.
You're not over this game yet.
Oh, good God, no. It's going to be, trust me, it's going to be a long time before people are over this thing. Ugh. It's huge. It's huge.
I get it. I actually don't get it. I understand.
You should download it and play it.
No, it's not happening.
Because it's fun.
No.
You hate fun.
I hate fun. We've already talked
Stop
about this.
Stop hating fun.
In the show every week, that's the thing that happened, the craziest thing from this week's news. Tennessee, it's almost Florida. Tennessee, a husband and wife visiting from Texas said a chef's at dinnertime entertainment went too far. During dinner at a local hibachi restaurant, a woman called police to file an assault report after she was squirted in the mouth by a toy that looked like a man peeing. The incident happened at Wasabi on Old Fort Parkway. An officer was called to the restaurant on a sexual assault complaint. According to the incident report, the woman's husband said the server took out a toy figure of a person. When the server pulled the toy's pants down, water shot out of his wife, a shot hitting his wife. The man told the officer that the toy had a penis and that his wife was sexually assaulted. This is on a toy again. However, the officer found that the description wasn't completely accurate. Quote, I observed the toy to have no penis, just a hole for the water to shoot out of. Charges were ultimately not filed. So watch out when you go to dinner for that hibachi cook just squirting the pee.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Thailand.
Oh.
You think our electoral process has problems? In Phichit Province, 220 miles west of Thailand, a voting location in a temple was attacked by 100 small monkeys who charged into an open hallway and began tearing up voter lists and instructions posted on the walls for voters. Officials were unable to apprehend the monkeys, who live in the bushes around the temple. Authorities believe the monkeys were attracted to the pink paper used to print the voting materials. Elsewhere in Thailand, 2 8-year-old girls were arrested and charged with interfering with an election for pulling down information about the upcoming vote because, quote, they liked the pink paper it was printed on, end
you
quote.
Just gave Hillary Clinton two more ideas on how to try to win this election.
100 monkeys walked in and ransacked the voting location.
Hmm.
That's a new one.
Yeah.
That's
Take note.
That's a thing that happened. 100 monkeys walked in and ransacked the voting location. That is it for the big picture. Normally, I would be throwing this over to On the Town with Mikey D. I don't have anyone here from On the Town with Mikey D yet, so I don't know. The phone is ringing. Say something for a minute. We'll see what's going on.
Well, I was going to bring up another thing for What's Hot. In addition, this was brought to my attention, so anybody that listens...